Good morning. May I please the court? My name is Javier Maldonado, and I represent Richard Reinierson in this appeal. This case concerns the limitations imposed by the Fourth Amendment on federal officers at the checkpoints, immigration checkpoints. In United States versus Martinez Fuerte, the Supreme Court carved out a very narrow exception to the Fourth Amendment to allow the federal government to stop and question passengers briefly to determine their citizenship status. These stops are not justified by a warrant, probable cause, or reasonable suspicion. They are suspicionless stops authorized for the sole purpose so that the government can determine the citizenship status of people crossing through the checkpoint.
Doesn't that require the cooperation of people who have stopped, at least to some degree?
Your Honor, I don't think to decide the case we need an answer to the question. But if I may, if asked, answer the question, I would say no, Your Honor. Recall that these are suspicionless stops.
But these are not Terry stops.
That's correct. So in Terry versus Ohio, in Florida versus Bostick, and most recently in Hybel versus the Sixth Judicial District of Nevada, the Supreme Court said the Fourth Amendment doesn't impose any obligations on the citizen. That's what they said. That's what Justice White said in Terry versus Ohio as well. The police officer may stop an individual.
Again, we're not in a Terry stop. We're at what used to be called the functional equivalent of the border, and you have the obligation, it seems to me, if the stop is justified to determine if they're legally authorized to be here, then it can't be an encounter in which no information regarding that has to be divulged by the person who is stopped, or else it is meaningless.
But, Your Honor, it would be odd that in a Terry stop that is supported by reasonable suspicion, the Supreme Court has said there's no obligation on the citizen to cooperate. And yet,
isn't it the opposite? Wouldn't it be odd if the purpose is authorized to stop to see if there's authorization to be here, if there's no obligation to respond to that inquiry?
Not at all, Your Honor. Not at all, Your Honor. I think what the Supreme Court did was give to the government a little bit of authority, just a very narrow exception. We will go ahead and allow you to set up these checkpoints dotted across the border and to forcibly stop people and ask them questions. That's a lot of authority to give to the government when the Fourth Amendment requires probable cause or a warrant.
Why are you engaging in this very broad policy argument about the contents of a stop when a quick review of the video here shows that he was providing information throughout the stop? He provided his driver's license, he provided his military ID, and he offered to provide his two passports on his own right away. So how is this even relevant? Why are you...
responding to my question, so I hope it's somewhat relevant.
Oh, no, I meant... but no, he made this in his brief, and
Yes, and I was responding to Judge Southwick's question.
Well, certainly, and you should.
And I should, but we were also responding to the district court's suggestion that Reinierson needed to do more. And I don't think the court needs to reach the broader question. If I can describe this stop, Your Honor, this was a 34-minute stop. This court has held that, by and large, immigration checkpoint stops will last a few minutes. Machuca Barrera, 2 to 3 minutes. Portillo Aguirre, 2 to 3 minutes. Even the agent Lance, the defendant, said in his declarations, this shouldn't take more than 3 to 5 minutes. This took 34 minutes. And I'd like to break it up into three parts. The first 11 minutes, when agent Lance asked no question about citizenship, from about minute 11 to minute 17, at minute 11, finally, agent Lance asked the question, are you a U.S. citizen?
And the whole time from minute 1 to 11, the military ID and the driver's license are sitting right there.
On the window. That's correct. And in fact, for a good 5 minutes, Agent Land simply didn't engage Reinierson. He stood back, and it's on the video, and in Scott v. Harris, the Supreme Court said, you know, we will view the video, or courts should view the video, in light of what is shown on the video.
If the video contradicts the district court's ruling, are we supposed to go with the video? Isn't the Supreme Court said we, if the video says it's clear?
I think that's correct, Your Honor. The last section is from minute 17 to minute 34. Let me start on the last period of detention. At minute 17, Supervisory Border Patrol agent arrives at the scene, goes to the vehicle where Reinierson is citizen, requests identification, and Reinierson tenders two U.S. passports. At that point, Agent Pettis had completed essentially most of his investigation. He had seen and identified how many people were in the vehicle, he had obtained their identification, and he had requested proof of their citizenship. And so all that remained was for him to confirm that the passport, the person in the passport, was in fact Reinierson. And so unless there was individualized reasonable suspicion that Reinierson was doing something wrong, it's hard to believe that that stop should have lasted more than a few minutes instead of the 17 it lasted.
At that point, it would convert to a Terry stop, wouldn't it?
That's correct. In fact, it would convert to a full arrest. And so at that point, for this court, I believe at that last section, it's an easy one to decide because the agent had the passports and there was not a whole lot more to do. Nothing in Agent Pettis' declaration indicates that the review of the passport should have taken more than a few minutes. We move then to the time period, the second time period between minute 11 and change to minute 17 before Pettis obtained the passport. At minute, it's about, in the video, it's about 11:15, 11:20, 22. At that point, there's a discussion between Reinierson and Agent Lance. The window has been rolled down sufficiently for Reinierson and Lance to have a conversation, because in fact, you can listen on the video, Reinierson asks Agent Lance, can you hear me? And Agent Lance says, yes, I can hear you. And then there's a further exchange where Agent Lance says, well, why wouldn't you answer my questions? And why were you being evasive? And Reinierson says, well, you never asked me if I was a U.S. citizen. And then Agent Lance says, well, are you a U.S. citizen? And Reinierson unambiguously says, I am a U.S. citizen. At that point, what more did Lance need to do to effectuate the investigation needed at the immigration checkpoint?
Back to minutes 17 to 34, it might have taken a minute or two to verify the passport, although they could have asked for it earlier when he was offering it during the earlier time. What is the purpose, though, of getting the, and I'll ask the other side this too, of going to call the commanding officer at the military base? What does that have to do with the citizenship at all?
It doesn't at all, Your Honor. In our opinion, it had nothing to do with the purpose or the scope of the stop. Recall that under this court's precedent, the scope of the stop is determined by the permissible duration, its permissible duration. A permissible duration of an immigration checkpoint stop is the time reasonably necessary to determine citizenship status. Whether Reinierson was in the military or he lied about it or it didn't matter, whatever it is, at the point where Pettis had two U.S. passports, identity had been satisfied, questions of identity had been satisfied, and questions of citizenship had been satisfied. And precisely that diversion, that frolic of Agent Pettis going back to the office, Border Patrol Station, and making one, or we believe two, phone calls to Laughlin Air Force Base to determine, you know, his military identity when we suspect, although we weren't allowed by the district court to conduct discovery, where we suspect that he complained about Reinierson to his supervisor, and we submitted in the summary judgment evidence a letter where, in fact, Reinierson was, his attention was called, and he was disciplined for having, I guess, acted rudely at the checkpoint. But regardless, That was unnecessary to conduct the immigration checkpoint stop.
Were you the lawyer?
I was not, Your Honor.
You were not the lawyer. That's
no,
right.
Your Honor.
Did they timely request the depositions to determine what in the world was going on during this 34 minutes? Or did they wait too long to ask for the deposition so the district court would be perfectly fine in saying too little, too late, you don't get the deposition?
No, Your Honor. My review of the docket sheet shows that sometime in August, I forget the year, it could have been 2012, 2011, a first amended complaint was filed by the plaintiff. And then the government quickly filed its motion for summary judgment. And so there was no opportunity to start the discovery. Plaintiff did go ahead and file a motion to be allowed to conduct discovery.
Timely with the
yes,
submission of its summary judgment
yes,
response?
Yes, Your Honor. They filed a Rule 56D motion where they described the type of information that they were seeking to discover. And this is important, and I think it would help for the third for the whole detention stop. They ask for information about the time that it took Pettis to conduct the record, the background checks, and review the passports. I think that's important to determine whether, in fact, Pettis was diligent in investigating Reinierson's citizenship status. They ask for information about the phone calls that Pettis made to Laughlin Air Force Base. How many, to whom, and how long did they last? And they ask for information about why Lance needed an off-site supervisor to come to the Border Patrol station when there was someone there. And the district court denied discovery on those altogether to the plaintiff. If I can return to the second detention period, Lance asks, are you a U.S. citizen? And Reinierson says, yes, I am. At that point, the purpose of the stop had been fulfilled. We knew identity, we knew citizenship, and in this case, Reinierson offered the passport, and Lance seemed to have ignored the offer. So from minute 11:22 or so to minute 17, again, that stop is not justified. Then we have the first 11 minutes. As soon as Reinierson approached the checkpoint stop, he was never asked, are you a U.S. citizen? I cross that checkpoint regularly. I have appointments in Del Rio, and I have family in the valley, and so I'm very familiar with these checkpoints. The first question is, are you a U.S. citizen? And that's it. That never happened in this checkpoint stop. The video reflects that Lance never asked him, are you a U.S. citizen? Instead, he asked, is this your car? Where do you work? Are you in the military? Which base? Those are not questions related to the scope of the stop. Those aren't questions that go to the question, to the determination of citizenship status. And so Reinierson was quickly referred to secondary. At secondary, there was a gap of about 5 minutes where Lance simply never engaged.
You're not arguing to this court that they couldn't automatically send him to secondary, which is what they pretty much did.
No, we're not, Your Honor.
They can send anybody they want automatically to secondary to make the line go smooth or for whatever reason.
That's correct, Your Honor. They can do that, but they must also do their job diligently. They must also go. They can't simply send them to secondary and forget about him. They can't simply just send them over there and not ask him, are you a U.S. citizen? And that's pretty close to what happened here. They sent them to secondary, and Lance never asked the question until minute 11. And so they can't come and argue to this court, well, we were diligent. The video shows it all. He never asked the questions for the first 11 minutes. At minute 11:22, he finally asked the question, but he doesn't release Reinierson. And at minute 17, Supervisor Pettis obtains the passports, and he continues to detain Reinierson for another 17 minutes. And I think we have demonstrated through summary judgment evidence and through the agent's own statements that Reinierson's Fourth Amendment rights were clearly violated by the agents.
What remedy do you seek?
We seek reversal, Your Honor, and to return it to the district court so we can continue and proceed this case with discovery and hopefully a jury trial.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Steve Frank from the Justice Department on behalf of the individual federal defendants. And that's something I want to emphasize here, is that this is a case against the Border Patrol officers in their individual capacities. This is not some lawsuit against some big government agency with a lot of money. They're suing two individual Border Patrol agents seeking $500,000 worth of damages. And the words that I never heard from my brother's speech presentation this morning is what's before this court, and that is, this is a case of qualified immunity. And that test is very clear, the court's very aware of it, and it's whether or not these individual defendants violated clearly established constitutional rights. That's a two-part test. First, the court determines, well, they can determine in any order according to the Supreme Court now, determines whether or not there was a constitutional violation, which the district court, Judge Moses, said there was not. And then second, and this is our fallback position, and this is a position that the government and these individuals should prevail on, is whether or not that constitutional right was clearly established. Taking them in the order that the court did of a constitutional violation, we don't believe that it's helpful for this court to do as my brother did, which is to break down this thing minute by minute, because you're always going to find, well, why did they ask this and why did they ask that? And the Supreme Court in Sharp and this court in Brigham was very clear that we're not going to second guess exactly what Border Patrol officers ask and the order in which they ask them. So I'm not sure that's helpful. This court in Scrogan said we look at the totality of the circumstances. And in that, I think the key is what Judge Southwick said. To take the position of plaintiff in this case, this court would have to hold that, as they, plaintiffs and amicus, insist, that they have a right to say nothing, to just pull up at a checkpoint stop say nothing.
That's not true. That's just absolutely not true. We would not have to hold anything so broad. We would have to hold that if you cooperate, you can't be kept for 30 minutes. It was supposed to be a quick stop, and that everybody should know that if you don't have probable cause, you can't keep holding someone there for lengthy periods of time after you've produced your identification and it's checked out. It is not true that we would have to say you don't have to cooperate. I understand they briefed that, but that's just not this case.
I beg your pardon. I did understand that was their major legal point. I think that's very important, because that's basically, I understand, Your Honor, watch the video, and we all watch the video, and it's like Monday morning quarterbacking. We can say, well, he should have gone long, or he should have had a draw play, or what. But basically, for a large part of the time, the gentleman was not answering any questions. I mean, he said...
That's not true, counsel, is it? He never once did not answer a question posed to him, did he, counsel? There is not a single incident where he was asked a question and did not pose it on them. Is there, sir?
I'm addressing the length of the detention and whether or not the length of the detention was reasonable or not. The only point I'm making, Your Honor, I'm not saying, and I don't think it's necessary to get into the specifics. The only point I'm making is, for a large part of this time, and especially at the beginning, all Major Reinerson, which I'm sure the Border Patrol officials were not used to a major responding in this way. Major Reinerson kept saying, are you detaining me? Do you have reasonable suspicion? calling the FBI, calling the Border Patrol, that took up a lot of the time. That's the only point I'm
making. How did that take up any of the time? Because he's only doing that while they're standing around the back of the car and coming. I mean, that did not seem to have anything to do with the duration of the stop. He immediately produced his identification at minute 11 after he realized that that identification wasn't satisfactory, offered to produce two passports. That offer was not taken up, and then there was silence. So I don't understand what he did that contributed to the lengthy time that they just sat there.
All I'm saying, I'm not saying that his time took up each and every minute of the 34 minutes. I'm saying if one looks at the video, you'll see there's a certain amount of time, and I would say a considerable amount of time, was taken with him saying, are you detaining me? With him saying, or do you have reasonable suspicion? With him saying, calling the FBI, with him calling the Border Patrol and this kind of people. My question to this court is, and addresses, I think, Your Honor's question about the holding up of the identification. My question to this court is, do we really want to have people going through these immigration checkpoints like Major Reinerson did? It's true that these checkpoints, and if you go through them in a cooperative manner, take a minute or two, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Do we want this court to say it's okay to go through the way Mr. Reinerson
went? I don't understand what you're saying he did that was wrong. He offered his identification, and then he offered other identification. He did try to clarify why the extended detention was taking place. But what are you saying? He didn't get out of the car. I guess I'll give you that. He didn't get out of the car. But other than that, what did he do that was in the least bit uncooperative?
I believe I've said it a couple
of
times.
No, I'm asking you.
I'll just repeat what I've said. I think that he was argumentative, he was evasive,
How was he evasive? In what question was he evasive? Tell me any single question.
Well, they didn't even get a chance to ask him a question. If you watch the video, he pulls up, and the first thing he starts saying is, am I being detained? Am I being detained? Do you have reasonable suspicion? They didn't even get a chance to ask this man a question.
There was ample time where they could ask questions.
Maybe they could have got a question in there, but that's not the way I looked at that video. My point is, does this court want to sanction this kind of behavior? Does this court want to have hundreds of these kind of cases? A lot of people don't like going through these checkpoints. A lot of people are going to complain that they could have done it in a more efficient manner. They could have asked me this. They could have asked me that. Your Honor's question, which I'd like to get back to specifically, and I apologize for not answering it yet, is you said he held up his ID to the window. Are the Border Patrol agents supposed to allow the people who come through the checkpoints to dictate the manner in which they respond to questions? Are they going to be allowed to just hold up an ID and press it against the window? My understanding as a government employee is every time I walk into the Department of Justice, I have to hand that gentleman this identification so he can hold it in his hand and he can look at it. And he can also run it through, because it's got this little data down here, and see if it's authentic. I can't just hold it up.
Did they ask him to hand
the document
over? I can't
just walk by him and do like this.
Did they ever ask him to hand the document over? As I recall the video, they never once said, sir, we can't see that adequately. We have to run it through the computer.
There again, Your Honor, I mean, there we're getting into, I think. And I would, you know, Your Honor, maybe if it was me, maybe if it was you, we would have asked different questions. But the question before this court is whether or not there was a constitutional violation.
Which is what I'm going to ask about
was
now.
Was it a constitutional violation to ask this question versus that question?
No, my question is, officer tells Mr. Reinerson, is it Reinerson, that they don't need probable cause to hold him there. Is that legally correct?
It is, as Judge Southwick said, that under, and this is the critical thing, this is not a Terry case. On page 14 of our brief, There are three cases, maybe more. United States versus the court has been very careful to ask for precedent. I've been sitting here for watching very interesting discussions and cases. United States versus Martinez Fuerte, which upheld suspicionless border stops. And probably the language that's most on point is United States versus Bregoni-Ponce, where the court says all that's required is a brief response to a question or two and the production of a document evidencing a right to be in the United States.
If you
they
held,
don't need probable cause for okay. that.
If you were held longer than a brief question or two, what authority is there under Supreme Court precedent that says that you can hold them longer than the time it takes to answer the questions and show the documents? What authority? Because that obviously happened here, that they were held longer than the time to answer the questions and show the documents. What Supreme Court or Fifth Circuit authority or even just any court authority says that's okay?
I was hoping you would ask that, Your Honor.
Good.
Because as opposed to the earlier cases where it was critical that there be some authority on one side or another directly on point, the fact that there is no specific authority means that the government or that these individuals win this case because it shows that the law is not clearly established. There is no authority. Plaintiffs have not even attempted to present authority outside of the Terry context, which holds that anything near what they're asking, which holds that if you show an ID and you don't accept the ID up against the window, that's a violation of the Constitution. That if you hold somebody for 15 minutes, that's a violation of the Constitution. There is no case law stating how long you can hold someone who's uncooperative.
Could and you hold somebody overnight there at the border stop?
Would
that
fact,
be, is it clearly established, or is that would that even be in question?
As a matter of fact, I hesitate to bring this up because it's distinguishable in the sense that there are cases that, no, the answer is no. There's no case law that says how long. There are cases at the border. Judge Southwick called this a functional equivalent of the border. So if you want to look at those cases as a kind of a give you some gauge of something, there are cases the most clearly on point, which I can't find right now, is Castro versus Cabrera. We did not cite it in our brief. It was decided in January of 2014, 742 Fed Second, 595, which upheld a 10-hour stop of someone who was a U.S. citizen at the border.
And you didn't cite this in your brief?
I beg your pardon?
I would ask that by noon tomorrow that you furnish this in a 28J letter to the court and serve it on opposing counsel since you're referring to authority, not in your brief.
I would ask the court if I could do that by close of business because I'm not going to get back to Washington until
that's
tomorrow.
Fine.
Is that
that's
all right?
Fine.
Close
I'd
of business
by
tomorrow?
Noon tomorrow, but close of business tomorrow is fine.
Fine. All right. And in that case, they upheld a 10-hour stop, and we would have no problem with plaintiff responding to this because it was not cited in our briefs, obviously. And they also cite to a case that upheld a 24-hour stop at the border. But my point being that forget about these cases. They're irrelevant because there is no case that says that anything more than a five-minute stop at an interior checkpoint is a violation of the Constitution.
Well, Mr. Frank, what we often see in qualified immunity or sometimes in ways, what level of generality must there be or specificity from the opposite viewpoint on the constitutional principles? And here it is established, I think fairly consistently, though and not completely with what the opposing counsel said, about what is appropriate. And there is not perhaps the case law there that talks about the kinds of unusual events that transpired here, where perhaps these agents had not seen somebody act like this before and was unsure what to do. But it does seem to me that we have to be careful here before going the direction you're encouraging us to go, because of the risks that fairly clear stated limitations, they're said in a positive way, which is, here's what you can do, that we not hold until there's a clear case that says 34 minutes with these kinds of events is improper, that things like this can happen, that we can't wait for that kind of case. So what is it? We're talking about limiting principles, if you sat through all of this, that you mentioned before from our previous argument. What is the limiting principle on your qualified immunity analysis? What don't we know what is proper to do, and isn't that good enough, even though we haven't yet declared it's improper to keep somebody this length of time?
Well, the
so how would you limit it if we, you know, if we upheld qualified immunity here, and that is the case, it's qualified immunity, and it's not the law as they say it probably is. What did these agents reasonably know? Should an objective agent reasonably have known at that time? So how do we stop that from allowing them to do anything, and then it's the next group who can't do it because we say it's wrong?
Well, there's that's a hot topic. I read the court's in-bank decision, I think Swanson versus Morgan. Very interesting discussion of what level of generality and what have you. And that was an interesting case because there was case law all over the place. And basically, people differed on to whether or not it was clearly established or not. I thought, in all honesty, not trying to flatter, Judge Elrod had a very good position that it was clearly established there. But there was a lot of law, and there was a lot of law to play with in that case about the contours. There's no law here, okay? There's no law about how long you can ask, you can detain someone, what kind of questions you can ask. The purpose, as Judge Elrod said in that opinion, the purpose of qualified immunity and the clearly established prong is fair warning. Fair warning. And the test is that it must be beyond doubt. That's the question. And I think, in all honesty, the court, which is certainly more than fair, looking at these gentlemen, that they did not have fair warning. I mean, they knew that they could detain somebody and ask them their citizenship, but what do you do with a guy who rolls up with cameras all around him and you know, starts questioning what is reasonable suspicion and this and that? Did they have fair warning that, you know, they better let this guy go after 10 or 15 or 20 minutes or something like that? There's no question. I think it's a reasonableness standard. Had this gone on for, I don't know, I'm not here to make a concession or a judgment. Had it gone on for 10 hours, 12 hours a day, 3 hours under certain circumstances, that might have been too much. This is 34 minutes. I just don't think you can say 34 minutes is too much.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Frank, about the way Mr. Maldonado approached it by going backwards and basically trying to identify what he was trying to convince us was clearly improper and then working into what maybe was a harder situation. It does seem to me the second half of this is awful hard to justify under existing law and talking about fair warning, checking with the employer here being a fairly sizable organization, delaying for 15 minutes. What would be in a reasonable officer's mind, objectively reasonable officer's mind, that would say that's appropriate?
Well, I can say, in all candor, I'm an officer of the court, that's a closer call. But should my response to that would be twofold. One is Major Reinerson put that in issue when one of the identifications he held up was his military ID. So he put in issue his identification, and I don't think it's, again, I don't think it's a constitutional violation to want to confirm that identification. Would I have done it? Should he have done it? Was it bad judgment, maybe? Perhaps. Was it a constitutional violation of the Fourth Amendment? I don't think so. Was it a clearly established violation of the Constitution? Not at all.
What I'm not hearing from you is reasonable suspicion arising from statements, affidavits, whatever they are, from to from the individual defendants about drug running, perhaps being the advance car for see how it's going at the checkpoint. Are those relevant to us, those arguments?
They were an alternative position from by Judge Moses. I will say, again, as an officer of the court, it's not our primary argument.
Thank you.
They seem a bit forced, but nonetheless, okay. Thank you, counsel.
We're prepared to submit. Thank you for your time.
I just have a few matters to correct. Judge Elrod, Reinierson answered all questions but one.
Okay.
He refused to answer, to give the name of
his
commanding.
CO. He didn't give the name of his CO because he said, what do you need that for?
That's correct.
I appreciate you correcting the record as an officer of the court with your time.
And so that was correct. The second thing I want to correct for the court is this immigration checkpoint was not the functionally equivalent of the border. I direct the court to footnote 15 of Manchuca Barrera, where the court drops a footnote to explain that immigration checkpoints like the Sarita and Uvalde or the Laredo checkpoints, they're not the functionally equivalent of the border. And because the functionally equivalent checkpoints, which are the functionally equivalent of the border, the government has broader powers. That's not the issue here. It's for the functional equivalent of the border would be an international airport. Person lands coming from Mexico or Colombia, and then the government has much broader powers.
So what is this then?
This is just a land interior immigration checkpoint that is governed by Martinez Fuerte, Machuca Barrera, Portillo Aguirre. I would also want to point out to the court that there was a clearly established right in this case. Otherwise, I think we would have a lot of surprised criminal defendants realizing that they don't have a right to contest the search or detention either on a bus, like Portillo Aguirre, or in a car, like Machuca Barrera. And in those cases, this court said, look, the duration of a stop at a checkpoint is measured by its the seizure's permissible duration. And what is the scope of the stop? Well, what is permissible for the police or the federal officer to do there? And what is permissible? What is the permissible duration? Well, it's the time reasonably necessary to determine citizenship status. And there's
talking about suppression of evidence. It's a much different question and plays into what Mr. Frank is saying. What we need is clearly established law. It's one thing to decide it in the case and have it affirmed as the proper reading in this case. It's something else to bring a 1983 suit if the motion is granted to suppress against the officers who perform whatever the tasks were.
I respectfully, Your Honor, I don't see a criminal, a citizen having lesser Fourth Amendment rights than a criminal defendant.
Well, no, we're not talking about Fourth Amendment rights. We're talking about Section 1983 claims.
Right. So how is it? They have to be clearly established, much harder than to just say that you have the right and therefore submit suppression. You have to show that it was clearly established, that the officers would know that they can't just sit out there for 34 minutes. What case shows them that they can't just sit out there for 34 minutes or 30 whatever minutes?
I would point to the Machuca Barrera and Portillo Aguirre.
But is it specific enough?
I believe it is, Your Honor. It's specific enough because this court, and no court has ever laid down a hard and fast rule about how long a detention shall be at a checkpoint. And it makes sense.
But it's just like cut the other way.
It can, Your Honor, but it's no different than the question that this court faces again and again of what is excessive force. How many times must a person be beaten by a baton in order for it to be a constitutional violation? It doesn't work that way. This court sets out broad rules to be applied to each case. And in this case, from even before Machuca Barrera, the court has laid down the rule of what is reasonable, when is a person's Fourth Amendment rights going to be violated at the immigration checkpoint. And I would point out to the court that Agent Lance knew exactly what were his obligations and what were the Fourth Amendment rights of Reinierson, because in his declaration, he says, this is what happens at an immigration checkpoint. We check for people's citizenship status. And we look, and as if he's quoting Machuca Barrera, you know, we look to see the nature, ascertain the number and identity of the occupants of the vehicle. We also inquire about citizenship, and we may request identification and proof of citizenship. And this, and he says it in his declaration. And this investigation takes no more than 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay. What is there a case in another circuit that you would have us look at that would say that the law was clearly established? Do you have any authority that would help us with the clearly established point?
I don't have it on me, Your Honor. It would be in the brief. One last thing. The opposing counsel quoted Brigoni Ponce and Martinez Fuerte for about what is expected of passengers coming through the checkpoint. Well, the government is quoting itself. It's the court was quoting the government's brief, and now the government is quoting itself again. And so that's really not the state of the law. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We have your arguments. This